Welcome to The Backbone, a journey inside finance at a startup. I'm your host, Shubham Datta, at Shubham on Twitter. On The Backbone, we're obsessed with finance and operations at startups. We take a close look at finance functions within various startup companies by talking to finance leaders that are in there day in and day out. We chat startup finance, metrics, operations, and everything in between. Joining me on this episode of The Backbone is Rob Curcio, Director of Finance at Touch Bistro, an iPad-based point-of-sale software company that is built for restaurant people by restaurant people, with every feature designed to meet the unique needs and fast pace of the food service industry. Rob's leadership and business acumen has been instrumental in Touch Bistro's rapid growth. He's a motivated and passionate finance executive with a proven record of exceeding business expectations, scaling operations, and driving revenue growth. As a goal-oriented team visionary, Rob is focused on strategy, building relationships and networking, as well as enhancing operations through agile methodology. He earned his Bachelor of Commerce with honors from Ryerson University and is a CPA CA. So without further ado, let's hear from Rob himself, Director of Finance at Touch Bistro. Hey, thanks for coming on The Backbone, Rob. Really appreciate you joining us today, and love to get started right away. So you've been at Touch Bistro now for about a year and a half, and prior to that, you were at Anatolia Tile and Stone and PwC in their audit group. So talk to me about your journey to Touch Bistro and how you got started in finance within the software industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I wanted to start by saying thank you for having me. It's definitely a pleasure to be speaking on The Backbone. My career started at PwC in their audit group. I completed two summer internships. So at the time, there was a experience program where they recruited individuals from university in their second year. So I was fortunate enough to be picked up from Ryerson. Did two internships and then started full time. I started full time in the mining group. You know, a time where mining wasn't doing very well. The big companies like Barrick were taking big write-downs, the industry was suffering. So beyond it not being a right time for mining, it was also difficult to, you know, gain a positive experience when the industry naturally isn't doing well. Right. On top of that, I just wasn't a big fan of mining and never thought that, you know, mining was really an industry of focus. So I looked to switch, and I made that switch by going into the private company service group, which is based out of our Metro North office, but keeping close contact with tech and entertainment because I knew I had an interest in getting some exposure to that environment and that industry. So with the PCS switch, allowed me to gain some tech and entertainment companies or clients and get some experience there. So I had, you know, companies basically as big as, you know, the IMAXs of the world to as small as the tech startups. Through Metro North as well, I also worked on, you know, a lot of the owner-managed business. And, you know, coming into PwC initially, you know, I really had no expectations. It was more just to get as much experience as possible. But as I grew through experience and through the ranks from, you know, an associate to an experienced associate, I quickly realized that, you know, going down the audit partner path probably wasn't for me. So it was great that I took the approach where I wanted to get experience in the various different industries the firm offered, without truly specializing, until my senior associate year, which was in the private company service group. In the private company service group, you know, I had obviously more ownership and accountability of the file, which is great. Smaller teams gives you, you know, more access to the client, better opportunity to get exposure to C-level exec, as well as just to take more ownership in managing a file or leading a team. So, you know, even as an experienced associate, I was given leadership of the file, acting as senior before I became a senior, which, you know, was huge exposure for me, something very different than the mining group or the big public companies in the downtown office where naturally you're on a team of 5, 6, 10 plus people and not touching the bigger aspects of the file. But that was kind of my, you know, thought process in changing industries and getting a better focus on tech and private company services. In my third year after passing my UFI, I say that now because a lot of the new students are writing the new CPA program, which
that's right. Was it's after a brand new program?
Yeah, So after passing my exams and qualifying for my CA, or I should say CPA-CA now, I got an opportunity to join Anatolia Talent Stone. So they're a company based out of Bolton with some international exposure in Turkey. The opportunity there was for an accounting manager to eventually grow into a controller role. I went there, you know, had a team of six people, including some exposure from various different functions like customer service, supply chain, et cetera. You know, the challenge you face in owner-managed business is the owners tend to hold strategy and, you know, I would say more forward-looking discussion close to their chest. In this particular company, owner-managed business, the siblings really made all the decisions. So I found progression in the company to get more exposure into strategy and forecasting to be, you know, very limiting. So that's, you know, the main reason naturally I felt that I kind of hit my cap after a year in the role and I was tending to look elsewhere. And, you know, looking elsewhere for me meant now joining an industry where I really had a passion or an interest in. Again, the tile industry, despite the company being a very successful company, didn't really tie into my passion and what I was, you know, wanting to specialize long-term. So I was actually introduced to the current CFO of Touch Bistro through a mentor of mine. And, you know, we met for coffee, kind of picked his brain. He asked me some questions and it was very informal. That led to a formal interview and I got offered the controller role with Touch Bistro. When I arrived there in December of 2016, we had a finance team of about three. And I've, you know, been a contributing factor to grow that team to eight now. Having said that, too, headcount has more than doubled since I've joined. So definitely very positive to see, you know, a Toronto-based tech company really boom.
For sure.
Over the past year and a half now, you know, I've learned and been exposed to so much that, you know, the decision to jump in back into the tech space and really get the, you know, industry focus rather than focus has been just absolutely incredible.
So I want to unpack that a little bit because you said, so you started off in mining, then you moved from mining to PCS and with a focus on the technology sector and space. And then you went kind of away from that to, I guess, I'm not really sure how to categorize the tile and stone space, but you went there and then back to tech. So what would you say pulled you back to tech?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, I mean, the Anatolia is more of the PCS type space, so probably very typical of a large PwC audit client in the, call it distribution space. What pulled me back to tech was the ability to jump into a company or, you know, companies for that matter, because obviously the tech community in Toronto is booming, but to really get to see, you know, a larger portion of strategy, get to see and be a part of a growing industry in Toronto that, you know, people often joke, you know, Silicon Valley is the hub, but I feel like, you know, from the recent articles I've been reading and just seeing the growth in Toronto, we've really been making a statement. I think we hit top 15 cities in the world now to foster and grow innovative technology. So, I mean, it's impressive to be a part of an industry that's growing. The general interest in tech, you know, from tech and entertainment at PwC, I found those to be the most interesting audits and the most interesting strategy. It's tech, like, you know, it's cliche to say, but you constantly have to be innovative and, you know, getting feedback from your consumers to really make an impact and see where your, you know, product or service can be positioned in the most positive way for growth. So yeah, it was great to see Touch Bistro. And, you know, I would say Touch Bistro offers a product that really just simplifies the process and, you know, makes a massive impact in the restaurant space. So I think it was a natural fit. And really the, you know, coming in as controller, I was looking for just a strong mentor as well. So it was important that I, you know, work closely with a CFO that was, you know, respected in the community, as well as someone who can kind of groom and mentor me. So, you know,
for sure.
I've kind of seen the benefits of already joining after, you know, like 1 year, I was already promoted to director of finance. And in this new role, it now enables me to work closely with the senior leadership team, obviously under the direction of my CFO, and get that exposure to, you know, strategy to where the company grows. So it's been definitely a remarkable experience so far.
Got it. So you started to touch on this a little bit, and why don't you tell me a bit about Touch Bistro itself? So what does Touch Bistro do? What is it all about?
Absolutely. So Touch Bistro is an iPad-based point-of-sale software company. Customer base includes, you know, the full-service, quick-service restaurants, coffee shops, food trucks, bars. Our main value prop is enhancing the restaurant experience. We enable, you know, restaurant owners to make more money, and through that by, you know, turning tables. So it kind of replaces the legacy program of paper and pen, delivering a better, you know, guest experience. So the waiter or waitress will be able to send orders to the kitchen while simultaneously taking orders, you know, around the table. And then, you know, being the focal point of restaurant success. So, you know, through that, we've been able to power over 10,000 restaurants in more than 100 countries worldwide. So that kind of speaks to breadth and depth of you know, our product. And we're really trying to make restaurant run easier. So, you know, restaurant owners have more time to focus on really what their passion is and the reason they kind of opened their business in the first place. Because as you can imagine, you know, you get a variety of different restaurant owners from different walks of life. There's chefs who are really passionate about, you know, bringing back nonna's Italian dishes to new, new chefs providing their different modern, you know, dishes or plates that are, you know,
right,
unique. So it's been fantastic to see that, you know, shift in mindset of restaurant owners changing from a legacy program to a modernized point of sale.
That's awesome. So it kind of lets them get back to what the cooking aspect of it, or the entertaining aspect of being a restaurant owner versus the administrative and, you know, more of the, I guess, mundane tasks that Touch Bistro kind of lets the technology take over. Would that be a good way to put that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're a chef coming into Toronto in a place where restaurants are make up a big part of downtown Toronto. Or, you know, if we're speaking about the U.S. market, there's, you know, without quoting a stat, there's a ton of restaurants opening up every day in the U.S. market. So allowing them to focus on what they want to accomplish, which is, you know, their passion for cooking and sharing that their passion through their dishes to customers. We basically help allow them to focus on that. So being the central point of focus for software does make an impact and make transition and operations run smoothly.
And so you touched on this a little bit when you said, you know, there's software serves mostly food trucks, breweries, bars, nightclubs, and other traditional kind of local restaurants. So kind of the SMB market, small and mid-sized businesses. And so what are some of the unique opportunities or challenges that you face being the finance leader of a company serving the SMB space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, challenges we'd face would be, you know, managing churn, nature of the industry. As much as we want every restaurant to be successful, unfortunately, beyond our control, sometimes they're not. So there is a portion of unavoidable churn there where you're kind of limited, you know, reducing churn based on, you know, external factors that are beyond your control. You know, with every restaurant that closes, you know, from what we see, a lot of them new restaurants open. So you're trying to manage a churn. You're trying to, you know, find ways to help them. That would be probably one of the biggest challenges in the industry as unavoidable churn. Second one would be just workforce. So our workforce, we're fortunate enough in, you know, part of the reason why we've seen this great growth of, you know, being even announced as Deloitte's top 50 is that a lot of our individuals have restaurant experience. So, you know, in some industries, it might be challenging having a workforce that represents your product to also have experience in the industry. We have a lot of customer success, sales team members, marketing members that have restaurant experience, whether they've been, you know, servers in high school or in university or been a part of, you know, restaurant operations. So it allows us to kind of
right.
both their feedback, but as well as our customer feedback. Like any successful business needs to, you know, really understand their customer base and incorporate, you know, feedback and changes in product. And I feel the product's always developing. So we do our best to incorporate both internal as well as external customer feedback into our product roadmap to stay competitive and innovative.
And it also allows you to, I guess, relate to your customers a bit more than if you didn't have that vertical experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's you know, when you're taking a, you know, customer installation call or when you're calling for support as a restaurant, it's helpful to know the individual on the other side of the phone is someone who understands kind of, you know, the pain point of starting a restaurant and opening up. So, you know, having that experience internally, but also hearing them and really listening to, you know, what they'd want to see as improvements, because, you know, there's always a way to continue to improve, is so critical and so important in this space.
Touch on something else here as well. So in a previous episode, we had Darren Wood, who's the director of finance at Jobber, a company that provides software for service-based contractors, helping them with scheduling, quotes, invoicing, and billing. So again, a similar kind of target market in that they target SMB. So he mentioned that one of the advantages that he saw was that being able to work closely with their customers to be able to kind of test features, gain insights, and then that would impact their roadmap. And so have you found that also to be the case in the restaurant vertical? Like, are the customers that you guys serve, are they open to kind of trying new things and new features, and you're able to test them on a group of users before rolling it out? Or what's been your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fundamental aspect of, you know, any successful implementation. You kind of have to have your beta testing with a selected few customers that are open to see, you know, whether that additional product change or product development really makes sense. So yeah, we've seen great success in that, and working closely with a selected few to manage that expectation and see, you know, hey, you wanted this change. If we do go ahead and implement it and put it in beta, how does it affect your business? How does it affect the transaction? How does it incorporate with, you know, the rest of the restaurant operation? So yeah, we've definitely seen success in that. And I definitely would agree with that point. You know, staying close to your customer base also involves really doing product testing and really getting a sense of
right,
going to make the difference.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I guess, advantages of having a large pool of customers, that when you serve the SMB market, you do, and no one customer kind of accounts for a significant chunk of your revenue. It's really about a lot of customers, like you said, 100,000 restaurants that you have on board. And so you're allowed to kind of test things out with, for instance, that may be relevant to food trucks, which may not be relevant to sit-down restaurants. So it allows you to, I guess, kind of also segment your customers and test out features that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's key. I think that's key. Product is definitely a key focus in any tech company to really stay innovative. You know, it's very, very important. Yeah, I would say another challenge that we face to also add to your question, there is, in an evolving business, we obviously, there was some news, I'm not sure if you saw our news article that came out, but we've recently partnered with Chase. So allowing us to partner with WePay to kind of manage our payment processing enhances the customer experience, reduces, you know, number of point of contacts to onboard. So obviously payment is definitely an important part of restaurant operations, and allow us to provide further revenue growth. So, you know, also looking to increase your recurring revenue and, you know, even top line revenue is obviously very important to our success, but also to, you know, functionality of restaurant operations.
Right. That's great. And so now I wanted to switch gears a little bit, talk about, you know, there's a lot of folks who want to get into tech in a finance capacity. So similar to the route you took, or maybe a different path, but they want to get to where you are. And so what are some words of wisdom or advice that you would give someone who is maybe in your shoes from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I think what's helped me the most, and I'll probably start by saying this, is get a mentor. I was very fortunate enough to have my mentor, Eugene Bomba, which very well-known name in the industry. He helped me.
A past guest on The Backbone.
Yes, I know. I'm well-informed as well. Yeah. So Eugene has been a fantastic mentor for me since, you know, day one of coming into PwC. He's helped me kind of tailor my experience and get the most out of my experience. So having a mentor, I would say, is absolutely crucial, even as early as if you're looking to jump into tech from a university level, getting a mentor in university, just to understand, you know, course program, understand the technical, if it's finance capacity, but having a mentor throughout the way who has experience that can, you know, have someone to vent to, have someone to bounce ideas off of, have someone to go to if, you know, you're stuck in either making a decision or need some help with, you know, reporting or some compliance issues or whatever the case may be in the finance capacity, looking at that as an extremely useful resource. Yeah, I would say that's probably the number one thing you can do to come into the space. And that kind of that go get a mentor comment really applies to various different spaces, but especially in finance, it's helpful in tech to have someone to bounce ideas off of. Number two, I would say is, you know, ask questions and go and meet people. You know, the network, especially in tech, is extremely close knit. Everyone seems to know everyone. There's tons of networking events as well as, you know, just community events. So, you know, talking to people and really getting to pick their brain. I find when you go for coffee with a founder, you go for coffee with a CFO, they have so much passion in what they're doing, and allowing them just to talk and getting a sense of their story and why they did what they did or what piece of advice they would offer you if you're early in your career as a senior accountant or a controller or director, really at any level, even as a VP or CFO, there's always someone who's, you know, has more experience than you, has seen more than you have. So,
right. It's been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly. Number three, I would say, now more specific to the actual entity, I would say doing, you know, your research and understanding the entity. Obviously, there is a variety of tech and health startups that are booming right now in Toronto, but really getting a sense of what they do and understanding their business model. No different than, you know, an investing decision. You're making an investing decision. You really understand what the business model is of the company you're investing in and why you think they'd be a leader in the space. I would say take a similar approach to that to your job. If you're, you know, arguably spending the majority of your day working, you want to make sure you're working towards not only your own professional growth, but also towards really growing the product and really growing the team or the service that you're working with. So obviously finance is not a department that is in a pigeonhole. You're actually seeing a variety of different departments and you're touching and having conversations with
right.
different individuals across the organization. So being that, you know, strategic insight resource or being that go-to person from a finance perspective, it's important you really understand the actual business model and what the company is trying to accomplish. That's huge. And then, yeah, I mean, to touch on the whole networking thing, you know, just being a part of the community. So try to attend a networking event. You know, at times I can, you know, I can say from even personal experience, it's tough to get your name out in certain events, but you're able to pick and choose where to go. So going to an event maybe with 1,000+ people might be harder to go and meet, you know, a person you've been focused on meeting, just network of numbers. Right. Go to a smaller event where there's, you know, a panel. Go to an event where maybe it's hosted by a company that, you know, we have a tech networking group that I keep close touch in touch with a variety of VPs and controllers and CFOs as well in that group. And it's helpful to have them because you can bounce ideas off them, but you don't get into those kind of groups without really going out and trying to network and hear about them to begin with. So attending networking events and just kind of being, you know, having an ear close to the ground is helpful in building out your brand as well as your experience.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. That's some sage advice. So now, you know, last question before we hop to our quick fire round. In your opinion, what is the importance of the finance function at a technology company?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm sounding biased by saying this, but being in finance itself, I think it's critical.
And I haven't heard that one before.
You know, despite Touch Bistro really not being in that segment anymore where we're early stage, I would say we're obviously later stage now that we've passed our C round. So much more of a small business. I would say the finance function, you know, plays a critical role in all aspects of an early stage company. So if you think about it, in a seed and A round, it's, you know, more about fueling growth, you know, getting the name heard, building out sales and marketing. In a B and C round, tends to be more focused on, you know, controlling growth, budgeting and forecasting, you know, investing in internal systems, compliance, obviously, because that comes with growth. And then, you know, looking to see where the company is in 3, 5, 10 years. So kind of having a mission, vision, plan for the company. You know, in early stage, you have to know when to invest heavily in various departments, but also when to spend greater focus internal versus only building out venue count. So, you know, as you progress through the stages, I would say finance in tech not only provides the, you know, financial reporting aspect, but is seen really as a analytic strategic partner in making sure the numbers make sense, working towards the revenue. So I would say finance itself plays a very critical role in that aspect. And, you know, what I personally like about it is just the fact that you really get to see all aspects of the business. You're not caught in, like I said, a pigeonholed or tunnel vision of one department. You really play, you know, a strategic in all aspects of the business. So I personally work closely with sales. I work closely with our marketing team. Work closely with dev, right? I mean, you have to be able to budget, forecast. You have to be able to provide strategic insight. And that's where I think finance at all aspects of growth in a tech company specifically plays a crucial role.
Yeah, no doubt. So jumping into our quickfire round now, the way this works is I will give you a quick question and you'll have about 10 seconds to respond to each. How does that sound?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So first one, what's your go-to online resource for all things startup finance related?
I would say Tech Vibes and probably Crunchbase.
Okay, cool. So Tech Vibes for news and Crunchbase for, I guess, a little bit more detailed info on the stuff.
Absolutely. So you see a bunch of new deals that have come through. They tend to provide kind of summaries of, hey, what to look for in a term sheet, what to look for in different stages of financing. So really cool. And then Tech Vibes also provides a bunch of very recent news or daily news, as I should say. They're definitely helpful resources.
Nice. And your favorite productivity hack?
So I would say hands down Trello. Using Agile methodology, I manage my team expectations, my own deadlines, and even upward manage my CFO using Trello board. So huge productivity hack.
Nice. And then one thing you don't leave the office before finishing?
I would say urgent fires on my Trello board that would probably require immediate response. So obviously these come often or, you know, come, you know, sporadically, that require immediate attention. So, you know, banging those off before leaving the office as, you know, as much as I can, would probably be the one thing I want to do before leaving or ending my day.
Makes sense. Well, thanks a lot, Rob. Really appreciate your time today on The Backbone. It was a pleasure learning about your experiences and your journey to Touch Bistro, learning about kind of some of the challenges and opportunities that SMBs face and that you've encountered in your time at Touch Bistro. And lastly, you know, all the advice that you shared for someone looking to get into the tech space, I think is very valuable. So thanks again for coming on the show. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks, Shubham. Thanks for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.